Hey, everybody, and welcome to another installment of Pod Stallions. I am Brian, and to my left, way over there, is Jason.
Hey, everybody.
And our topic today is something that it's a character that's dear to both of our hearts and obviously instantly recognizable to anybody, I hope, and that is Tarzan of the Apes.
Yeah.
And
Or Tarzan the Ape Man.
Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. Yeah.
Lord of the Apes.
I mean,
yeah. Ape Man.
There's few things I think that, especially when we were growing up, had really hit pop culture like Tarzan. Maybe like Popeye and Mickey Mouse, but like our parents' generation, they all knew Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably because he really has never left the media. Like he is, I think, one of the first film stars. I mean, I think the first Tarzan movie is 1920 or in 1918 actually.
You know, it's interesting. That's a great way to start it off, because it's not the kind of thing like, you know, I don't know, Hopalong Cassidy or whatever. Like, whatever else was going on at the time, you know, Tarzan has, like, endured. Like, it's been this, there's something about it. And it's, and I'm just going to brush on this right away as a point of reference for later in our conversation. But, you know, Tarzan was created by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who wrote many, many books, but he also created John Carter of Mars, Princess of Mars, the first John Carter book.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the kind of thing that, you know, it took, you know, 80 years for a movie to get made, and no one references, and no one, but Tarzan is the kind of thing that's just in the lexicon. It's just,
it's just part of our
DNA.
Hit. Yeah. And
which is really interesting.
Edgar Rice Burroughs also created Pellucidar,
At
the Earth's Core, and those are what I really love about Tarzan. We just started off is he hung out with John Carter. He went to Mars. He went to Pellucidar.
Yeah.
So it was the original Marvel Universe, where Burroughs did crossovers, and I think that's brilliant. And I think that's one of the reasons that literally the character endured. I think the character's popularity in film is probably largely due to how big an impact it made in the 30s and 40s with people like Buster Crabbe and Johnny Weissmuller portraying the character. What was your first exposure to Tarzan, if you can remember?
It's got to be the Weissmuller movies. Hmm. They used to run them on Saturday and Sunday afternoons on the local station.
Was your dad into them?
I think my brother Jack was, because and I've mentioned this before, I had an uncle named Randy who I don't quite remember much of what he looked like. I was just a little kid, but kind of reminded me of like Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
Okay, so just, you know, an adult just kind of state of arrested development.
I just kind of laid back and just, you know, probably had what you needed kind of thing. But he ended up, the Weissmuller films were kind of on, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was a guy that what I remember of him, this uncle, is that first of all, he was married to my mother's youngest sister. And I bring this up because that aunt is only like 7-8 years older than my oldest brother.
Oh yeah.
So my brother was at a certain age, you know, when I was like 7, he was like, you know, 16, 15 kind of thing. And they must've had a conversation at some point, and Randy kind of said, "Oh, well, you got to read the books, you know, Edgar Rice Burroughs," and turned him on to those books. And then the John Carter books. So those, a lot of those books, you know, with like the, it's not Frazetta, but you know, a Frazetta type doing all those covers and stuff in the '70s. That's some of those got handed down to me so I could read the Tarzan and John Carter books back then. But I think that's how my brother started to really obsess, you know, over the character, because he's one of these people that like, once he gets into something, he's got to read everything, you know, front to back and, you know, absorb everything. And so whenever those movies would come on, we would watch them. Of course, they were goofy, and you know, he obviously, that's not how they, you know, you know, because the gorillas talk in the books, you know. But then from there, it was the animated show. And I used to watch the animated series, the Filmation series, Saturday mornings. My brother would watch it with me. So I was like six.
Yeah.
And he would have been, you know, I don't know, he's like 8, 9 years older than me. And he would watch it because he thought it was really authentic, you know, and he'd already was pretty familiar with the books at that point.
Yeah, that's...
So, yeah, that was it.
That's interesting. I had the exact same... like, my dad liked Tarzan movies. Like, the old man would put those on all the time, and he liked them. But in most of the movies, Tarzan was kind of a moron.
He wasn't articulate.
In fact, my first Tarzan movie was actually a movie called Tarzan in India, or Tarzan Goes to India, and it's Jocko Mahoney playing Tarzan. And Jocko Mahoney. He was briefly. I think he was Sally Field's stepfather, and I think
It's actually it's a good name for a band.
Well, I think he was the inspiration for the movie Gator. Burt Reynolds.
Oh,
he's a stuntman.
No shit.
And Jocko Mahoney.
Aren't you thinking of Hooper? I'm kidding.
Now I don't even know.
sorry, I'm kidding.
But the thing about that movie was Mahoney was kind of old. And he got dysentery on the set, so he looked like he was frail. So, like, I watched it as a kid, not really, but I rewatched it recently, and yeah, Tarzan's not looking so hot in that movie. Seek that movie out and watch it, because he looks like he's lost, like, he looks about 25 pounds underweight, and he's pushing 50.
So dysentery is not another world created by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
So the Tarzan movies were always on in my house.
Yeah.
But when the Filmation series came out, I was immediately captivated by that. That is absolutely one of my favorite cartoon series of all time. And it, you know, the things that bothered me about watching the Weissmuller ones after that was any Tarzan movie was like, why is he a moron? And why isn't he going to Valleys of Dinosaurs and doing really cool stuff?
That's what was so cool about. Because see, the thing about the Filmation thing, and so we watched it when it was first on. You saw it as it aired, right? Okay.
Oh yeah, it was brilliant.
I loved it, and that was my introduction to Bob Ridgely, Robert Ridgely, who did the voice of Tarzan and then did the voice of Flash Gordon in the Filmation Flash Gordon series a couple years later, which is a huge obsession of mine. And then, of course, did Thundar, the Barbarian, as well.
Yeah, Robert Ridgely, the Colonel.
Yeah, first time I ever heard his from Boogie Nights. First time I ever heard his voice. But there was the design of those Filmation shows, the Star Trek animated Flash Gordon,
the rotoscoping of Tarzan running around,
the rotoscoping and just the look they gave to Tarzan, because you had references. There were things that existed, you know, when the books were written way back and everything. But Flash Gordon was much more. You could go back to the Alex Raymond strip and try to get close to it or update it or do things you wanted to do to bring this, you know, these characters into the Filmation show. But the Tarzan thing was somebody just kind of went, this is what I think he should look like.
Yeah.
And that sort of became, I mean, I always say that, like, much as I love Michael Keaton and, you know, some of the Christian Bale stuff and everything, my Batman, I really think is the animated Batman, the Batman, the animated series and Justice League and Kevin Conroy doing the voice. That's the guy. That's what I think of when I think of Batman. Like they just nailed it in every which way. And when I think of Tarzan, I always think of the Filmation series. I don't think of Weissmuller or Christopher Lambert or anything like that. It's always the animated thing. And the scripts, you know, because you got me burns of it before it actually got released. The scripts are, you know, all three of those shows, Star Trek and Tarzan and Flash Gordon, they're pretty
dense. In fact, I got the disappointing DVD. I mean, I'm still happy I bought it, but, you know. It's
quality's not great.
Yeah, for those that don't have it, the Filmation DVD of Tarzan, The Adventures of Tarzan, is, they didn't clean them up. So they're not terrible. They're completely watchable, but you're watching old film prints that you wish they'd at least cleaned up a little bit. But yeah, the stories are great. There's no, unlike a lot of Filmation, you know, there's no comedy relief. You know, Tarzan doesn't have Jane. Well, doesn't have a kid. Well,
there's Nakima.
Well, that's the other thing. Goofy. There's Nakima, not Cheetah. Nakima. Right.
And he's a little goofy. He's a little bit goofy,
but it's so tolerable. And the thing I really liked about the show was years and years later, I think 2006 or 2007, I was at San Diego Comic-Con. I ran into Lou Scheimer and his daughter. And I came up to them and said, I really want to thank you for a lifelong love of Tarzan. And his daughter said, oh, Daddy loves Tarzan books. And it was like, okay, this is where that came from. You know, Scheimer
Same thing with Flash Gordon. He loved that source material. I mean, Star Trek, I think, was an example of something where it was in syndication, it was doing incredibly well, and they kind of went, hey, we should do this. But those two things were really near and dear to him, from the time he was a kid.
And it showed. And that is not the first time somebody has told me that, and it influenced my life. The other one is Neil Cublin of Mego. Mego, when they first did The World's Greatest Superheroes, these are kids in the 40s and 50s, and they got Batman and Robin and Superman and Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, the famous story is that, you know, the Mego, Marty Abrams' son said, well, what about Spider-Man? And these guys have obviously weren't really into Marvel, and they went out and got the Marvel characters. So I was talking to Neil one day, and I said, why Tarzan? Because he didn't have anything going on in 1974.
Right.
No animated series, no movies. Neil Cublin's answer was, I really like Tarzan. And my dad used to call me Tarzan.
Oh, and that's awesome.
That's all it was he was a childhood Tarzan fan. And, they didn't get many other characters outside of the reach of DC and Marvel, you know?
It is a real, I've always wondered that because it is such an anomaly, like even stuff like, you know, Conan. Wasn't there a Conan Mego?
Marvel had a Conan comic.
But Marvel had a Conan comic, so I've always wondered was there like some weird 70s comic I don't know about, Tarzan or something? But
and that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. Obviously, Tarzan has been well represented in the comics. In the and I'm not a comic historian, folks, but the 50s and 60s, I believe the most famous and prolific artist was Russ Manning, who also did that amazing Star Wars weekly
The weekly comic, those are great.
Before that, it's a guy by the name of Bern Hogarth, who is a legend. I think I've got that name right. And
is he in German or something? Was he German? Yeah, was he a German guy?
It's one of those things somewhere. Where he is, Bern Hogarth, American cartoonist, but he was an absolute legend with Tarzan. And so you have, you have two fantastic illustrators. And I mean, Gold Key, I think, held Tarzan for the 1960s. And some of that stuff is amazing, and it's fantasy based. And of course, they had spinoffs like Korak, Son of Tarzan.
Can we just, before we go any further, can we just take a quick detour?
Yeah.
Because just to remind everybody again,
we don't actually have a root of any kind. So
no, we don't. But also how you and I are kind of like, brothers from different mothers kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I was at Comic-Con about, 5-6 years ago, when Scheimer was, I think it was one of the last Comic-Cons he showed up at.
Yeah.
I came up to him too, but I said how much the Filmation Flash Gordon series meant to me, which, it influenced my love of the film, which influenced my love of, all things Flash Gordon, and then the toy came out. And I said to him, when I got to the punchline of, I started a toy company and make these things. And he said, you're kidding. Could you send me some? I said, of course I could. So I sent him just like a Ming and a Flash. I don't know if they ever got them, but I sent them to the address because the daughter was there too. And I don't know if he ever got them or if he was aware of it. He wasn't well at the time. But isn't that funny? We both go up to him. You hit Tarzan and I hit you Tarzan, me Jane, basically. You hit Tarzan and I hit Flash Gordon. And how it's like a lifelong thing for us. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is really funny that we both did that same thing. But yeah. I owe him one on that one. Because that really did everything paled in comparison to that show. And I wanted to
see... if people haven't seen it, I mean, that is... I think that it's pretty authentic. Like, it's a
child's version of it.
Right.
But I've seen adult versions that aren't that good. First of all, you know, there was this weird Me, Tarzan, You, Jane thing. Where
right.
Tarzan just, you know, obviously the biggest thing that ever parodied it would be Saturday Night Live with the Tarzan, Tonto, and Frankenstein. Do you remember that?
Where right. Yeah.
They just all spoke in just non sequiturs. the pop culture idea of Tarzan was a dummy that lived in the jungle, did a cry, and, you know, lived with Jane and Boy.
He was like a savage. Well, that's what was so great about. I would compare the Tarzan animated filmation thing to what the Marvel Universe decided to do with Thor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad that they didn't, for the movies, he speaks, you know, he's got an accent and it's sort of, you know, kind of old English, but it's not like it is in the comics, thank God, because I don't think it would have worked.
You know, I think I owned one Thor comic as a kid, and it was just such a tough slog for me.
It's a tough read as a kid, man.
Yeah.
But the Tarzan thing was so great because they didn't, he wasn't completely articulate. He just was like sort of slightly broken, but he was very intelligent. But the way he spoke,
yeah,
you just got the sense that he was a little, he didn't really speak exactly the way, you know, people
well,
do
always,
on the mainland.
I always like too, like he would say things. And I remember, my dad making fun of me once because, there was an episode where I can't remember it, but, I woke up one morning and I was like 7 years old and I said, I feel as weak as a baby cub, you know, and my dad just burst out laughing. He's like, where'd you get that? It was from an episode where Tarzan, gets his strength zapped by aliens, you know?
True story.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
True story. Well, it's funny because my brother, I was a little kid, you know, like, you know, and my brothers were very good to me because they were much older, you know, just the three of us, but every now and then, you know, my brother would want to give me a hard time, and he'd say, come, little one.
Yeah.
Do the voice, like, and he, you know, because I was little, and a little kid, I'm like, knock it off! Don't call me that! Come on, come, little one. And he would do that, drive me nuts.
I gotta admit, that's probably Shimer doing Nakima, right?
Yeah, Shimer did Nakima. Yeah. He did the little pink dragon that was in season 2 of Flash Gordon. Rip off. Total rip off.
Yeah, and that's one thing Tarzan didn't get was that.
No, he didn't. But it's a good... Now, it's only one season, right? It only lasted a season?
Well, it's hard...
Or was it two? No. Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
No,
no.
Yeah.
Give the history.
It moved around a bit. It moved around a bit, and it got brought back. Yeah. There's 36 shows, which is insane for a animated show, but it was popular.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking to a vacuum here. There has to be more people who really liked it. But what happened was it started out with the New Adventures of Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they combined it as with the New Adventures of Batman, that show that had Batmite. Voiced by Lou Scheimer.
So that would have been so the Tarzan series was 76. Is that right? So
it premiered in 76 as its own. The second season they paired it with Batman, and
so that was
third,
77.
And then the third season became Tarzan and the Super Seven, which is something that
that's right.
You know, just
you're kind of you got a kind of a you got a thing for Super Seven, don't
I,
you?
I wish if there was, you know, a genie and said I could make any toys you want. Mm-hmm. I think Mego action figures of every character on Tarzan Super 7 would be what I, you know, I mean, I'm talking Jason of Star Command, Web Woman, the Freedom Force. This would be a tall order. That would be, and then I want them sent back to me as a child.
That would be.
I loved that. For me, that was the greatest 90 minutes of that
your
year.
Life.
Well, none of my life. I've done pretty.
No,
good.
No, I know. I'm kidding. No, I know we're digressing, but there are Super 7 Rat toys which have been like grails for you over the years, right?
Oh yeah. In fact, I'm still kind of holding out for a bunch. They're that wonderful sweet spot of like, oh my god, I've been looking through these for 10 years, and you're spending like $11 to get them, you know, because nobody gives a crap. Like,
they're impossible to find.
Just this very morning, I was cleaning up my storage room because I'm, you know, I moved a while back, and it's just been a nightmare. And I came across like 6 Tarzan and the Super 7 girls wristwatches. And it's like, one cared. I could not go outside and give these away.
Can you send me a couple of those? Because I'm starting to date.
Are you starting to date? Well, this will end these right away.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you'll
wouldn't want one of those?
Single in no time.
Okay. So speaking of, let's now that we segued, we're going to segue back.
Yeah.
Unlike Flash Gordon, and I know we're making a lot of parallels because, the Filmation connection, whatever, but unlike Flash Gordon, Flash Gordon was a Saturday morning animated series that got a line of toys specifically for the show.
Yeah.
In other words, there might have been Batman and Robin things and, Mego making this, but nothing was tied in specifically to the Super Friends, and Flash Gordon got a range of toys, but Tarzan didn't get anything.
Well, that's not true.
I remember I remember Puffy stickers. Did they get Rack? Did it get Rack toys?
Well, yeah. There's nothing really crazily Filmation Tarzan, but Tarzan did get a lot of merch in the 70s. I did not have a ton of it as a kid. I'm sorry.
If I wasn't specific enough, I mean specifically Filmation.
Oh,
related.
No, Filmation.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I mean. I mean, Tarzan got loads of toys, but
it's hard to tell because what happened was Mego probably lost the license to Tarzan 76. I'd say just as the show, like they just gave it up. I don't think it sold all that well. 76 or 77, they stopped producing because. What happened was that it's a tell. Tarzan got dropped from the assortment just as they went into, like Migos were in boxes and they were on these things called, Kresge or first issue cards, depending on who you ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it went to those just like carded superheroes, Tarzan was off the team. And it may have been, Mego just dropping the character for lack of great sales. The figure probably didn't sell all that well. But I think, there may have been, but Mattel picked up the character again, I think, in 77 or 78.
So those are the Big Jim style?
Those Big Jim style figures.
And that was a U.S. line, right?
That was a U.S. line. They're on these gigantic cards. So it's like Big Jim and a gorilla and Big Jim and a panther, and I think that panther actually ends up being the He-Man panther later on. Mattel is an excellent I think so. Mattel is an excellent recycler of things.
Kenner would do that too.
And Mattel Big Jim is just Big Josh or Big yeah Big Josh no Big Jeff
Big Carl
Big
Carl.
No, they all had a J in their name, sir. Big Jeff.
Big Jerome.
With black hair.
Right. But can we just Okay, so now this is different than there was also a range that was done, although I might be getting in this too soon.
Yeah.
But there was another range that was done where it was like young Tarzan and an older one and
that,
on that's, cards
no, that's,
with a grip.
We'll get into
that's
that.
Not this.
That's Dakin.
Okay, got it.
That's Greystoke.
Okay, got it.
There is a Spanish action figure, and I have one. It's a great big vinyl figure, and it's got a bit of a cherubic face. But I, you know, one of those eBay that got away stories.
It comes on a
card. It comes on a card with a drawing of Filmation Tarzan on it. It is a Filmation Tarzan doll. And
wait, is this the one?
I think it's by Vikma.
Is this the one that comes with the little? It comes with the little Nakima. Remember, you sent me the link, and you were like, look, it comes with Nakima, so it's like an official thing.
Yeah.
But the card art was like, the card art had like cartoony looking giraffes. It was really, really silly looking card art.
It looks like the Tarzan from Filmation.
And from the and it came with little Nakima. Right?
Yeah, and I have the figure loose. A kind soul got it for me. It's I think they're Spanish produced. And I think it's Vikma, but I'm not 100% sure who produced it.
Okay.
Absolutely, like one of those things that, you know, I don't have a lot of things that haunt me as a collector these days because I'm kind of getting old and I don't really care as much anymore for stuff. But that's one of those things like I'd really like to hold that. You know, that is one of my favorite. You know, just because there's, you know, I have a lot of Tarzan toys. I mean, but that is actually a Filmation Tarzan toy. You know, to
right.
me.
So anyway. So there you go. That's the one. That's the one. I remember you sending me a link.
Yeah.
To it on eBay, and you just missed it, and you were like,
"Must have been
damn
a ton
it.
Of."
Look,
I don't think I said damn
Nakima.
It.
No, you might have said. I think you said fudge.
Fudge.
Something.
Yeah.
But you were really bummed out that you missed it, and you showed me the picture with Nakima, and I was like, "Well, that's a new one. I didn't know this anything existed for this show." But I remember. I remember as a kid, like a set of puppy stickers at the gas station up the street. And I think I got them. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember. But I remember a set of puppy stickers for the series, the animated series.
Could be.
But that was
Imperial,
it. There was
Imperial
never...
had that license, and they did all kinds of, like, you know, Tarzan rubber bugs. And I think they used the Filmation character in there. I've never found.
I'd love to track those down.
I've never found any of that stuff. You know, rack toys are they're that thing that flies under the radar. I have a couple of just awesome rack toys. I have I had a Tarzan jungle set, but then I had a Tarzan and dinosaur set. So Fleetwood Toys made like an action figure, like a little figurine of Tarzan, and then it came with plastic dinosaurs, which to me is, you know, the whole at the Earth's core thing, and it kind of embodies what I love about the character. And of course, I don't, you know, great manufacturers like Corgi were making Tarzan sets in the 70s. It has you really couldn't you always could be able to buy good Tarzan merchandise at one point or another in the 70s, even the 80s.
It's like a perennial thing.
Yeah.
So there's the Weissmuller films, and then I think I remember after the animated series, kind of understanding different guys that played Tarzan over the years.
Yeah.
And there was one guy that ended up on MASH. He was like Major Houlihan's fiance, Donald Penobscot.
And you know what? I'm glad you brought him up because
you know who I'm talking about.
You're talking about.
Was he before or after Ron Eli? Was he after Ron Eli?
I think he's just around the same time as Ron Eli. You know what? No, you're right. He is just previous to Eli. There's a producer that had Tarzan and just kept bringing him back for movies and eventually pitched that TV series. And he's the one who was responsible for Tarzan and the Valley of Gold. Tarzan Goes to India, which has Jocko Mahoney, which we talked about. Mike Henry is the guy's name. And he is one of my favorite... He's one of my favorite Tarzans, even though he doesn't have very deep acting range.
No, but he's the guy. Was he in The Longest Yard too?
I think yes, he was. Yeah,
he was a guard, wasn't he?
He's mostly
he was.
Was he not in Smokey and the Bandit? He was Jackie Gleason's son in Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Now, the thing really like about Mike Henry is they were really Bond-influenced. So Tarzan...
The Mike Henry ones?
The Mike Henry ones. So Tarzan's wearing a suit. Oh. Like, I mean, my favorite Mike Henry Tarzan movie is called Tarzan and the Valley of Gold. Mm-hmm. And I think he may be the one who actually sued for getting attacked by the monkey. I can't remember. But
is this in the film? Is it a courtroom drama? Kind of like in the film, he takes
the monkey
to court, or is this off?
But Tarzan shows up in a suit, and he's kind of like, they were trying to milk the James Bond.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's like this espionage of, you know, his contact getting killed. And it isn't until he hits the jungle that he puts on the... loincloth. Yeah, so, you know, there's this whole little bit of this little bit of spy stuff they put into that film, and
he did a couple of films, right? And are you saying that Eli was a TV series, or were those?
Yeah, movies? Ron Eli was a TV series. I think they spun that up into films, but Mike Henry turned it down, and I think Mike Henry turned it down because the monkey hurt him. I thought that it was Mike Henry.
Come on. He turned it down because the monkey hurt him?
Yeah, I think he ended up suing, if I'm not mistaken. And,
you know, you're never supposed to work with monkeys. It's a hard and fast rule.
Yeah, he was bitten in the face by Dinky the Chimp. And Dinky the Chimp is the worst thing in the world because Dinky the Chimp isn't wearing a diaper and he's kind of letting it all hang out. And there's a scene in Tarzan and the Valley of Gold where Tarzan's making Dinky do flips and stuff, and you're not so into the scene because it's, unless you're into that sort of thing. I remember the first time I watched it, I actually had to like, bring my wife into the room and go, "Are you seeing this?"
Only what other show could you get this kind of obscure information?
Talking about chimp penis.
From talking about chimp junk. Yeah. Well, first of all, can we just point out that the poor creature's name was Dinky?
Dinky.
If your name's going to be Dinky, if you're given that as a name, you're either going to be kind of a jerk, or you're going to let it all hang out.
Yeah,
whoever gave him the name, I think it's their fault.
He suffered dysentery, an ear infection, and a liver ailment, and got 20 stitches from the chimp. So Henry turned down the television series as a result, and he sued. So, yeah.
Okay, so Eli. So I remember both of those things, you know, popping in and out of my childhood, you know, that stuff. And then nothing, but I remember, you know, good old Starlog, which was our standby. It was our internet.
Yeah.
Is the first one that kind of hipped us to, there's a new Tarzan movie. I take it back. We're forgetting the pinnacle of the
my friend Ed will be upset if you don't mention 1981's.
There was 1981 when Derek was the most, you know, not necessarily box office, but she was the it woman of, you know, 79, 80 or so. And her husband, John Derek, did a film called Tarzan the Ape Man.
Mm-hmm.
She's Jane. With Miles O'Keefe. Was that the
lead? Known to MST3K fans as Ator. And
right.
Yeah.
And he was also in Sword of the Valiant, wasn't he? Wasn't he also in that?
Yeah, I've never seen Sword of the Valiant, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're missing absolutely nothing.
Oh, darn.
But again, it was just an excuse to, you know, get some softcore scenes with
It's just basically to show
a waterfall and
her boobs, right? I've never been able to sit through that movie.
No, but Richard Harris is in it, and this is how dumb I was as a kid. I kind of knew who Richard Harris was. I don't know why. I don't know if it was, you know,
because you saw
A Man
Orca?
Called Horse. It might have been Orca. You know what? It actually might have been Orca, but I knew who Richard Harris was.
He's the someone who left the cake out in the rain guy.
Yes, MacArthur Park. Yeah, true story. It's based on a true story as well, that someone did leave a cake out in the rain in that park and
it took never so found long the recipe to make it, and I'll never know.
Yeah. It's true. So he, I see his name. I'm reading Starlog, and I see this new movie's coming with Bo Derek and Richard Harris, and I thought to myself, what are they doing? I think that guy's too old to play Tarzan. Doesn't make any sense to me. But I remember that distinctly. Reading
You're just
it in the
as dumb as
thinking,
I am.
Thinking they've made someone's made a horrible mistake. And so I turned to my mom and said, get Hollywood on the line. They're making a terrible mistake. We got to get Miles O'Keefe.
Now
he'd
I feel
be
better going, this is a callback, but my whole thing, Star Trek takes place in modern day, and it's
no,
a secret.
No. Yeah. No, you still take top prize for that one. That my little casting mix up.
But now I can't unsee Richard Harris. Yeah.
Right. It might have worked, you know.
Who else is in that movie? And he's just one of those guys I adore, but didn't really get a lot. Is John Philip Law is in that movie?
Yes, poor John Philip Law.
Yeah.
He just no. I mean, I don't say like poor, like pity him. I just mean. He
didn't get enough.
You know, Diabolik became something that Mystery Science Theater made fun of. At that point, you can make fun of, you might as well put on The Godfather and start doing piss takes. Like,
yeah, you know,
at that point, you can make fun of it. Like, Diabolik is not a movie, you know, Diabolik is a cool movie, and he looks amazing, you know? He was, you know, he did some really cool stuff, but
actually,
now he's kind of been.
I will say that even I, a Mystery Science Theater fan that I am, I always thought that was a weird ending for the show, because Diabolik.
Or like, you know.
Like, the Beastie Boys did a great parody of Diabolik, and I loved it.
Yes, it was amazing.
But the movie itself is actually, it's like watching a comic book, so.
It's cool, but again, produced by Dino De Laurentiis. Again, you know, these things that get beat up, like Flash Gordon and Dune, and again, I can't wait for our Dune episode. I know I keep saying it, but we got to do it soon. Mm. Especially in light of my Comic-Con and talking to Kyle MacLachlan and Everett McGill about the movie. Told Everett McGill that I had the action figures. He said, "You do not." Yeah, I've got Stilgar on my shelf. He was not
Battlematic action.
Anyway, so yeah, so those are three things that are very, you know, now they're kind of beloved, but they weren't at the time. Certainly, I mean, Diabolik didn't really do much, I don't think. But anyway, John Philip Law kind of reminds me of like a Sam Jones sort of thing. Although Philip Law had a better.
Yeah.
Had a better career, but
we're getting into.
So there was the Bo Derek one.
Bo Derek broke an 11-year Tarzan movie drought too, which is just crazy.
Was it?
Well, yeah, because
so there was nothing in the.
Well, 70s. No, that's not really true because you know they did the Mike Henry films, and before that they did the Jocko Mahoney film. Jock Mahoney, not Jocko. And then of course before that was Gordon Scott. I forgot about Gordon Scott. But the, 1970 was the last film, and that actually was the television series. Just, you know, somebody put a couple episodes, like the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movies and all that stuff. Greystoke, if you really want to think about it, Greystoke is probably the first real legitimate Tarzan movie that came out.
Right, and again, so remember watching the animated show?
Yeah,
with my brother. All these years later, we were the first. You know, opening weekend, we went to see Greystoke.
What did you think of it?
I remember kind of looking to my brother for his reaction and like, what is he going to like this? Is it ever? And he said to me afterwards, like, you know, I think they got a lot of it right. It's just, you know, they spent a little too much time. It should have been more. And he wanted that sort of thing that you got from the books, which was the apes talking to each other and, you know, the more fantastical elements and stuff. And, you know, it was an origin story. So it wasn't that interesting. I thought Lambert was good, but it was the first time I think we had a guy that was more live, you know, in the jungle, which we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, I talked to Alex about this, you know, because of the new movie and everything. And he still thinks, you know, Tarzan should be, you know, like a Sam Jones or a Ron Eli sort of thing.
Hmm.
Which, you know, I could see it both ways, I guess, but it was kind of cool to, this was the first time you saw the character as sort of a, having more of like a dancer's body, the way Lambert, yeah, you know, was built. Instead of a big, imposing guy, he was more, you know, gymnast kind. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. He was like a, yeah, like Bruce Lee kind of slender.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. So that was a new thing for that character, I think.
I never thought about that.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember the stuff with the apes, the beginning being kind of cool. But again, you know, you had a huge chunk of the movie, I don't know, what, 20 minutes or so, where there's no dialogue,
mm-hmm,
you know, until like Ian Holm shows up. The apes were really cool. I don't know if it was Rick Baker. I forgot who did that, but I thought they were, I think they held up pretty well, I think, the way they did those things.
I thought a lot of it was great. I don't know. I remember Harlan Ellison being furious at it.
Harlan Ellison didn't like something?
Yeah, he got mad. He's rare to anger, but
it's so unlike him.
His comment about it, I seem to recall, was, and I remember really liking this comment, which was, well, let's get him out of the jungle and back to old Blighty as fast as we can. Meaning, you know, they got him right back to the Greystoke side of it, which he viewed as the boring side of the character. And I kind of understood what he was going for there.
I remember reading a review in one of the collected volumes of his reviews or articles and stuff at the LA Weekly, praising Raiders of the Lost Ark as like the greatest adventure film of all time. It's fantastic. You know, cut to less than 10 years later, he's doing an introduction for the Rocketeer trade paperback, and he's trashing Raiders as not being period, you know, friendly enough or faithful enough. Like, the guy is just, he's not happy unless he's miserable, this guy. So I could see him trashing Greystoke for every week. I mean, was it the greatest idea at the time? I know what they were trying to do, and they were making this almost like a historical, you know, epic kind of thing, but it should have, they should have gone for high adventure, I think, you know, to kick it off and then maybe kind of go backwards. Cause it didn't, I don't think it did well. You know, I think it was Andie MacDowell's first movie, but
they dubbed her.
Her voice was dubbed. You know who she's dubbed by?
Oh, I used to, I'm not going to just tell me.
You really want to know?
Yeah. Alfred Wait, Gilbert Hitchcock Godfrey.
Dubbed her voice.
What's that?
Alfred Hitchcock dubbed her voice in that film. No, Glenn Close.
Oh yeah.
Dubbed her voice.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Which made sense because she probably had like a Texas twang, you know, which wouldn't have made a lot of sense.
Yeah, she had trouble getting rid of that in anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was well acted and, you know, Lambert looks pretty cool and everything, but I was like 13 when I saw it, 13 or 14, and you know, it wasn't very exciting or anything. And I really had was the movies on Saturdays and Sundays and the cartoon to go off of, you know? So I wasn't thrilled with it. And then what? And then after that, what did we get? The next big Tarzan
movie didn't come out for another like 14. Oh, well, you know what? There were TV movies.
Was there a TV one in New York or something?
Yeah, Tarzan in New York, and that starred Joe Lara. And it was a pilot for a TV series that thankfully went nowhere. But then during the mid to late 1990s, you know, you remember that Hercules, The Legendary Journeys was a huge hit in syndication, and Xena was. So we started getting all these terrible, you know, Queen of Swords and Sinbad, and then somebody decided to, you know, fund a Tarzan TV series. And they brought back Joe Lara. And I really couldn't wait for this show because they were doing the Tarzan Goes to Pellucidar, Tarzan Goes to Mars storylines. But the show had like 6 cents budget. Like it was.
And this is the one that was this the one that was called Tarzan?
The Legendary Journeys?
The Legendary Journey.
No, the Epic. Yeah,
The Epic Adventures or Legendary Adventures or Journey or something.
Yeah.
Right, because I knew nothing about this show. I couldn't find it but I remember those toys, like all of a sudden just walking into Toys R Us.
And yeah, I don't know if those had anything to do with...
Because that line is called The Epic Adventures.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird because I remember that, but it wasn't...
I think it's the kind of thing where, like, you know, there was a Beetlejuice movie, there was no merchandise. Then suddenly there's a Beetlejuice animated series, and suddenly there's action figures, but they're based on the movie.
I don't even know where the trend that you're talking about. Like, there was a Tarzan TV series from 91 to 94 that starred a blonde guy named Wolf Larsen. I think it was a German-produced show. And then,
right, I think this is the one after that.
And then the Epic Adventures came out in 96 with Joe Lara.
That would make sense for the toy line. I think was 97 or 98.
Yeah, and that had Joe Lara in it, and it was that's around the same time. I don't know how they got those. There were toy commercials for that thing on Saturday mornings.
And right. Here's the thing. It's like, I think they used the name of the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, the figures were more like they used the show as a platform and thought, or Trendmasters, which is the company that was doing it, was getting everything at that point.
Yeah.
They kind of said, let's just make it an all-over, you know, toy line for this character, which, again, is really strange because I don't know who they were aiming it at. I'm glad it got made, but I don't know who they were aiming at. But, I mean, they made 12-inch talking figures with the yell. They made bendies. They made now the action figures had like 3 points of articulation or four, like waist, arms, and neck. But they made all kinds of stuff. But the coolest thing, the reason I have a fondness for this toy line, is again veering from the series itself. They made a John Carter action figure. It was like a 2-pack. Of John Carter and Tars Tarkas, I think. Or there's a 2-pack of Carter and Deja Thoris or something. But suddenly, for the first time ever, there are action figures of John Carter.
Yeah.
And it was, and that's why I'm like, this can't have anything to do with the TV series. So I got those. And even better, though, is they did 3 or 4 little mini play sets. Yeah. And it right back to the books like you're talking about and the animated thing where like this one is the adventure of the, you know, at the Earth's core, and this one is this and this, and there's a like the third or fourth one is a John Carter like when Tarzan went to Mars and John little minifigures of John Carter and Tarzan like hanging out on Mars with like, you know, a little creature over here and a little, you know, glider and, you know, and they were
going to make a glider.
For the figures.
Did you see that stuff and go, is there a movie or TV show that I don't know about? Because I felt like it was this, you know, like you'd see that stuff and usually that was the big summer movie at the time.
Sure.
But you'd look at that stuff and go, what's causing this to happen? Like, what's going on in Tarzan?
Yeah, I did. It was one of those, the complete mysteries of like, why would this be happening? Like,
yeah.
You know, Trendmasters, it must have been somebody at Trendmasters going, oh my God, I've always loved this character. Because it went deep. I mean, some of those characters were way deep characters. So I feel like somebody there must have been in love with this character, this world, to make this. Because if you guys be listening, if you look it up, it was really extensive. Like, they did a lot of stuff.
And they had like a whole wall at Toys R Us. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. I just remember thinking, you know, I figured it wasn't something that existed. It wasn't like a movie or something because I couldn't find I remember looking at the packaging. I couldn't find a copyright anywhere that said, you know, like 20th Century Fox or whatever. And there were no images of anybody from the movie or anything. I couldn't figure out what this thing was.
But I remember a Tarzan, I think, versus like Tars Tarkas TV commercial. And
really?
Yes. And at the end, the if it's not Tars Tarkas, it's another creature going Tarzan, you know, and it was like 3D animated characters, and I was like, what is going on? You know?
I gotta find that.
Yeah, and just like that, you know, because it was pre-internet days, you're kind of like, is there a show on? What is this? And at that same time, the only things going on were the Joe Lara show, which lasted one season and was canned, And immediately after, we were treated to the greatest actor ever to play Tarzan. And that is Casper Van Dien in Tarzan and the Valley of Gold.
He played Tarzan in what?
Actually,
on TV?
Tarzan and the Valley of Gold was a film, like a theatrical film, you know, as opposed to film on your teeth. I don't hate the movie because, again, it has this sort of, you know, fantastical element to Tarzan. It's not, you know, you're not watching his friggin' origin for the millionth time. He's halfway intelligent. Not a lot of range, obviously.
Right.
But it was a huge bomb. And
I don't think I knew that even existed. I don't know
really?
If I ever knew about that.
That I was so excited to see it, and then it was like,
because it's weird, because I've got all of the rest of Van Dien stuff.
Yeah, you've got your collection?
Yeah, it's weird that I wouldn't know
about
this
one. I did a toy show
where
he was at the table behind me.
Wasn't he on, like, a reality series about his wife or something? And
oh, I don't know.
Wasn't there, because he was married to somebody that was kind of famous, not famous, but was a British actress that was from something. And it was like, I just remember flipping around one time and all of a sudden, you know, they're getting into a fight or something, or he's out crying because he cheated on her or something. And I'm like, whoa,
did I just waste a whole bunch of my time? You did.
Yeah. Is this a show? What the hell?
The one thing I wanted to say about the Joe Lara show was somebody released some really cool Tarzan novels with him on the cover. Like, it was called Tarzan and the Epic Adventures, and it was just some Burroughs novels. And I bought that book. I remember being really excited about that book. You know, thinking the character would... I was hoping that series would run a while, because that was, you know, better than some of the, like, that crummy Sinbad, and but no, it didn't. It didn't last.
So what year was the Van Dien?
It was called Tarzan and the Lost City, and it was 1998.
Tarzan goes through customs.
Yeah. Tarzan goes surfing.
Tarzan gets stopped.
No, I'm just gonna because it's been a while. It was a 6% review on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's good. Right? That's a good.
I don't hate the movie. It's not great.
I mean,
great.
Only 6% of the country hates it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just not that. It's not great. It's not.
Right.
It was just.
How did he play? How did he play the character? Was it dumb? Dumb Tarzan, or was it like he kind of had his shit together?
He was supposed to be intelligent Tarzan. He's getting married. He's John Clayton. He goes back to Africa to help. You know, that typical story.
Right.
I can't remember much of it, except I think there's something in The Lost City that has powers. And it's a forgettable movie. I still have the VHS if you'd like to borrow it.
Yeah, I would, actually.
Okay,
can you send
it
tomorrow?
Over. Yeah.
But that actually brings us to nearly to...
Except you could just watch it for free online somewhere.
to where we're at, which is the most recent movie that we've done. Are we there yet?
We had Disney doing Tarzan.
I totally forgot about that.
Which I think was good and bad. I think... I think Disney screwed...
Is that the one with the Phil Collins song?
Yeah, and the most famous for the action figure that was masturbating, if you recall.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Remember that. Everyone thought, that was one of those things where everyone thought, you better go buy it, because they'll be gone, they'll take them off the shelves.
Yeah, yeah. You know, now you can buy them all day long at antique malls.
Pretty much. But there were Happy Meal tie-ins, there were Happy Meal things, and...
Yeah.
And, you know, that extensive, was it Mattel? Was that what you said? Was
Mattel did it? Yeah, Mattel had the Disney license, and yeah.
Extensive Disney figures and stuff. I don't remember really anything about the movie, if it was accurate at all with the character, or, you know, I don't remember, like, the bad guy, was there Jane, or any of that stuff.
It was another retelling of the origin. I went and saw it in the theater, a childless man.
I think I saw the theater. No, I think I did too. But who did the voice? Who was Tarzan? Who did the character? Lead character.
No, I honestly don't. It really hasn't been.
I'm gonna pull this out of my butt.
Oh.
Okay.
It's time.
I'm gonna say Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah. Who the hell is Tony Goldwyn?
If I'm right.
You're right. You are.
There's some. I am.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to stop with the show because there's no reason on God's green earth that I should know Tony Goldwyn was the voice of Tarzan in the Disney.
Well, you know what?
There's important shit missing from my brain. Because
you know what? I was
like
watching the new Wet Hot American Summer, and there was an actress on there, and my wife goes, "I recognize that woman. I know her from somewhere." And I go, "Is her name Anna Marie Johnson?"
Oh my God.
And my wife goes, "You're a sick man." And she's like, "How do you know that?" And I'm like, "I don't know. She was, like, I think the last time I saw her was 15 years ago or 20 years ago on TV." But it's just like, yeah. And it's like, I don't know why I would retain that. You know, I.
You know, do you know what? On the latest episode of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
A character shows up. A guy shows up. The Twin Peaks: The Return. A guy shows up. And I'm looking at him like, why do I know this guy? So familiar. I don't like, but familiar in a way that I haven't seen this guy's face in like 20 some years. Like, but wait, that's, and as I'm starting to kind of figure out who I think it might be, my brain goes, is that Grant Goodeve?
Oh my God.
The oldest son from Eight Is Enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that for some reason, the words Grant Goodeve were in my brain. And so I waited through the end credits and my inner voice is going, please don't let it be Grant Goodeve. Like, there's no reason in the world that I should know that name except
there's no reason Grant Goodeve should be in productions.
Yeah, well, and again, you haven't seen the guy hasn't been done anything for God knows how long, and sure enough, it was Grant Goodeve.
Well, I think
do I know that name?
I think he was actually quite the sensation on Christian TV for a long time. I think.
Was he?
I think he's a born again guy like Willie Ames. Yeah.
Because
that was always a Mike Nelson joke on Mystery Science Theater, like Christian sensation Grant Goodeve.
Well, you know, he bless him because you know I don't know if he's been keeping up. I don't know if he's been keeping up with
current
Twin Peaks: The Return, but it's not very. No, him.
Oh,
I'm saying he's going to be lapsed. He hasn't seen this damn show yet.
Case in point, though, you just named Tony Goldwyn. I pull those kind of names out of my head all the time. I was picking something up today, and the woman said to me, "Well, here you go, Brian." And I left the store. And driving home, I went, "How the hell did she know my name?" And I had to spend probably half an hour thinking about it. It's like, oh, yeah, I went to high school with her. And she dated three of my friends.
Ooh,
it's like we hung out a lot.
Hey.
And it's like,
oh, no wonder you remember her.
But no, I didn't at the time.
No. Thanks. I meant three of your friends that dated her.
Yeah. And it's like that's just like
wow.
Yeah.
And you're the one that got away.
Yeah, Brandon got away. Yeah, but just.
Yeah. Wait, so wait a second. What was the other one you said? Tony Goldwyn.
Oh, I was talking about my Anna Marie Johnson thing. Like I just
who's Anna Marie Johnson?
She was a go-to actress in the early '90s. She showed up in a lot of stuff in Living Color for a while, in The Heat of the Night. If you saw her, you'd know who I was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she...
Is she like Grant Goodeve caliber?
I would say possibly higher. But I mean, like, she's probably been active, but she hasn't, you know... she was on What's Happening Now. Do you remember that?
I sure do.
I do, yeah.
Oh my God.
I was a huge fan.
I do.
Yeah. So...
What's Happening Now? I forgot all about it until you just mentioned it again.
Well, enjoy the pain.
But yeah.
Thinking of What's Happening Now. Once,
I remember
like, Mama was gone, so what was the point?
Exactly.
But
So now do we get up to the newest? Now are we at the newest movie?
I think that you know, we had, there were animated things, and but yeah, Tarzan really didn't get much. But I think I wanted to bring up Disney is, I think as much as it was great for Disney to bring Tarzan back, they were blocking the Filmation release.
So, oh, is that what the
yeah,
hang up was?
So during the golden age of getting every cartoon released on DVD.
He ever wanted, yeah.
Yeah, and cleaned up nice versions. When people actually bought physical media, Disney was saying nope, and we had to deal with bootlegs. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Disney.
Yeah.
I thought you were here to bring our dreams.
Up yours, Disney.
Thanks a lot. Up yours, Disney.
And then, of course, you know, Disney released a TV series of animated TV series of Tarzan. I didn't spend one
there
day
is,
watching.
There is?
Yeah, and oh my god, I forgot about this. Do you remember the WB's Tarzan series? I used to watch this.
Was that the one that was like a modern take?
Yeah, like Jane's a cop, and
I do remember that now. Yeah. I remember that. I remember it existing. I don't remember ever seeing it.
I watched every episode because Lucy Lawless was on it. And that was kind of an important thing. It was on the WB. It was god-awful.
Better or worse, once again, characters we love getting underserved. Better or worse than the Sci-Fi Channel's Flash Gordon series?
Better. Yeah. Yeah,
good Lord.
Because Ming wasn't portrayed by a gym teacher.
Botulism is better than that Flash Gordon series.
Yeah, I couldn't stand on my head and watch that garbage. Like, what?
I couldn't watch. I never watched a full episode.
Yeah, I would rather watch the season run of that Flash Gordon where he's a teenager cartoon in the 90s.
Oh, that's right. They got all kinds of toys from Galoo.
Dale's the hard one to get. I would rather watch that than with, you know, like Alex the Droog style, than have to sit through 1 hour of that sci-fi show.
It was everything wrong with everything.
It's just
you could just imagine every single meeting, every single just. Not a single idea. I know you don't have any money.
Yeah.
I understand you want to make it easy and have it take place, you know, in one room or whatever.
Planet Vancouver.
There could still be a slightly clever way to think of something other than one frame of what we got.
Oh god, that was
bad. Okay, so then lo and behold, last year
we get this Tarzan movie.
2016. We get this Tarzan movie that was done by, was it Nicholas Heitner or some? I forget who did it.
The Harry Potter guy.
Yeah, what's his name though? Not Nicholas Heitner, but that guy.
David Yates.
And yes, and I missed it in the theater.
Oh, I went for opening weekend.
I missed it in the theater, but I caught it on DVD, and I bought it. I thought it was really great.
You know, we forgot about it in our best of, and I felt so bad. Because I loved it. It got maligned for no good reason. I think a lot of the articles were like, we don't need a white guy in the jungle, and it's like, this is a Tarzan movie, just accept it. They added Samuel L. Jackson as a character who I thought worked. Jackson can either take you completely out of a film or he can just be fantastic in it.
I could not agree more. He does this thing with his eyes sometimes. You just go, was that a first take? And you know what's funny? I read an article, like a New York Times kind of interview with him about this new movie that's out, whatever. He does one, maybe two takes. Of any scene, even if the director wants more, he's like, nope, that's all. We got it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
He has this thing, and you kind of want to go, yeah, I get that you're, you know, a billionaire at this point because you've been in so many movies that have made, like, billions of dollars, but maybe you should do, like, a third or fourth take sometimes because
maybe you still have a craft.
You just seem like you're just reading the instructions on a box of cake or something.
You know, that really bothered me was they were interviewing an actor who was in The Omega Man. What is his name?
Clarence Williams III?
No, he was not in The Omega Man.
Why do I always think he was in The Omega Man?
Because Lincoln Kilpatrick is in it, and Lincoln Kilpatrick has the big afro, and he kind of looks, they kind of look alike.
Was Clarence Williams III in an Eastwood movie or in a Heston movie of any kind?
I don't think so.
God,
but Lincoln Kilpatrick, and then Clarence Williams III played Link. You can see the thing.
That's probably Link. Yeah, I bet that's it.
But Paul Coslow used to say that he would shoot his scenes with Heston, and then Heston would just go home. And he would shoot his scenes with a mop.
That's brilliant. Well, that was the famous. That's the famous on the waterfront.
Yeah.
That
oh, really?
In the cab, the famous scene on the waterfront. Yeah, I could have been a contender instead of a bum, which is the whole Brando thing when he goes on that whole thing. It's very famous. Steiger was there for him. But Brando wasn't there for Rod Steiger for his.
Oh, Brando was lazy?
I said, believe it or not, even back then. There's that, and there's another story about Orson Welles.
No.
Orson Welles and Peter Sellers on Casino Royale.
Oh.
And Peter Sellers, on the day was being, because he was a major prick, but he would, I'm going to be in my trailer. I'm not doing that. He wouldn't be there for the scene. So when you watch Casino Royale, as far as I know, he and Orson Welles are not actually on screen at the same time. They're playing against nothing, but Peter Sellers was so terrified of Orson Welles that, he couldn't bring himself to get on set with him. He was too scared.
Oh,
that's the true story.
Oh.
Yeah. But that's interesting. Okay, why were we talking about
Sam Jackson, and he actually
Sam Jackson.
He works in this film.
Right. That's actually a perfect summing up.
Yeah.
He either works and you forget that it's Sam Jackson, or you never stop thinking you're watching.
I'll be watching a movie with Sam Jackson occasionally, and my wife will come in the room and go, om nom nom, because she's joking about how he's chewing scenery in a movie. and she can take or leave him,
It's true, though.
Yeah.
It's true. But I thought he was, not only was he really good in this.
No, he's great.
I thought it was a great way to address, no pun intended for a Tarzan movie, but address the elephant in the room, which is, a bunch of white people doing,
jungle
old
stuff.
White stuff in a story from, 100 years ago. Jackson brought it in, and that character, I thought, made it really relevant with the stuff he was talking about and they were, they weren't equals because of, Tarzan being raised with, wild beasts and stuff and all that stuff. But he, he held his own in the movie, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
Yeah,
she was
Margot
like,
Robbie giving that Jane more to do was exciting. And I also want to point out that Christoph Waltz, I'd watch Christoph Waltz read a phone book. So,
oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, and I mean, his villain didn't have a lot going on, but I thought it was a great film. And
he does a lot with very little.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds, when he's like eating the cake or the tart or whatever with the cream. He does it in this Tarzan movie too, where they're having dinner and he's menacing in a really cool way. He doesn't have to do much.
And when he, I don't know if you've even seen Django, I'm sorry, but when he dies in Django, the movie kind of goes down.
It does.
Yeah.
It totally does. Also because it was completely ridiculous for that moment to be the moment that he puts his foot down. It's like, you're almost out the door.
Yeah.
Why would you want to make us think about this? Just get out the door. Just go. But he didn't, and then that's where it went. But yeah, no, he was wonderful in Django. But if you guys haven't seen this movie, we both recommend it highly.
It was one of the testaments to it was it got kind of beat up, but it never left the top 10 for weeks because word of mouth came around, hey, this is not a bad movie, and it it didn't make its money back in the U.S., but it made its money back, you know, foreign. And it got good reviews. It just, it had this...
Are they talking about doing another one? Would they do another one?
I doubt it. It's too
that
bad.
I was ready for, like, a series of films, because I thought... Because who's the lead guy? How do you say his name?
Alexander Skarsgård? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is just, like, a ridiculous specimen of a human being.
Yeah.
But
I
love the stuff with the knuckle, like, the way he was showing his hands and how they had formed, you know, being with the gorillas and stuff, and the kids were asking to see how his, you know... I love stuff like that. Like, that's... I don't know why, but it started to remind me of the animated version.
It's the closest thing I think we've had to the animated version on the big screen. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to bring up when we were talking about comics was my gateway to Tarzan via comics wasn't the 60s stuff or the obviously the earlier stuff, but it I think 1974 or 1973 DC got the license under Carmen Infantino. And he handed it to Joe Kubert.
Oh.
And Kubert,
lifelong fan
of Tarzan. And you pick up these treasury editions, and they're not only beautifully illustrated, but, you know, Tarzan speaks different languages. You know, he's...
Because isn't that always the... When you see that ad for the Kubert School of yada yada, whatever, wasn't it always like an image of Tarzan on
the
thing?
It was sort of
in the ad?
Quasi-Tarzan, I think.
But it's not supposed to be?
No, but his Tarzan, to me, is definitive. And then, you know, I think after that, Marvel got the license, and I think it went to John Buscema. Again, beautiful stuff, and definitely stuff I read as a kid. Tarzan had a... He was just treated like royalty in comics in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's just fabulous between the two big houses, you know. And I am...
Well, I'll tell you, you know... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think I owe my love to the character not so much from film, but from Filmation and those comic books. They led me to books and all those other things, so...
It's interesting how, as an idea or as a visual, as a concept, you know, the you know, man being, you know, raised by animals in the woods or whatever, you know, is not nearly as interesting as man's, you know, inner being somehow gets teleported to Mars, you know, or you know, Flash Gordon, you know, rocket, you know, human people, you know, crash land on a planet ruled by an evil despot, and they, you know, all these different it's not nearly as interesting as those two things, but Tarzan has been like this perennial, like it's always kind of around, because what's interesting, you know, I mean, I always say this, but, you know, Alex Ross is someone that I, you know, I talk to on a regular basis, but mainly because he doesn't text and he doesn't use a cell phone. You know, it's like, I got to get him at home. So we have these epic conversations and stuff, but he's one of these guys that's like, he's got like a Wikipedia brain. He doesn't go on the internet. He doesn't email. He doesn't whatever. But you could ask him about any character, especially like in the world of comic books and stuff, and he could tell you origins or whatever. And he, you know, he always says, you got to look at John Carter of Mars, Flash Gordon, and the Shadow are kind of the godfathers of everything that came after. And he's kind of right.
Did he say Doc Savage too?
He didn't put Doc Savage. He says that a lot of stuff was taken from Doc Savage too. But if you look at Flash Gordon, like so much of it was, you know, the Hawkmen, the image on the chest, you know, for the Flash. There's loads of stuff visually that was taken, and then DC ended up using and stuff. John Carter was the notion that this man could fly. I mean, he essentially was flying on this other planet because of the gravity. And I'm not saying that, you know, Siegel and Schuster.
Oh no!
You know,
but they all took a little piece and made it their own, I think, in some ways.
Right, and it's fascinating to hear him talk about this stuff. I always learn stuff, but you know, it's interesting that there's so much more that's been, you know, sifted through in those other properties, and the Shadow, of course, you know, precursor, like, you know, a Batman, like the alter ego, and, you know, all that stuff. But Tarzan is one of these things that's just, I don't know why it is exactly. And it could just be that the guy in a loincloth, you know, I mean, so much of the time it's played for laughs in sketches and jokes, you know, for 60 years. But what do you think there is about it that makes it so interesting to want to dip back into every now and then? And we got one John Carter movie, you know, from, you know, 80 years late.
Well, I think John Carter,
we're never going to get a Flash Gordon.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of Flash Gordon, but
no, we haven't.
Well, we've had it. It's definitely made its mark on society.
Well, yeah, it has. But it's, you
look,
know,
of the three concepts, one's really easy to film, because, you know, you can make you know,
there you go.
And I would put it as like, Porridge Too Hot for John Carter, because there was no way you were pulling that off ever. Until you had computers, and then because have you ever seen the Sci-Fi Channel John Carpenter movies?
They made Sci-Fi Channel John Carter of Mars movies.
Oh, yes, they did. And they're
on Sci-Fi Channel.
They're just as good as you think they'd be.
It had to be that. That's what's fascinating about the age that we're living in. This is the Marvel age of movies, because all of these things that technology had to sort of catch up with. And yeah, the thing about John Carter is, you know, once you sort of lay it end to end, you realize just how much has been taken from this property to go to Star Wars or superheroes or, you know, whatever, that the biggest mistake they could have made besides all the marketing that they did for the movie. And I really like the movie, the one that came out, but never saying, you know, before there was this and before there was that, and, you know, in 19 whatever we did, you know, because there is that Godfather, you know, kind of thing. But you're right, it was going to take a long time to sort of get there. So I'll give you that. But don't you think, there's got to be over 100 Tarzan movies, right?
Oh yeah, but I mean, it's a genre in itself, like a Western or anything like that. They're ridiculously there's some really good Tarzan movies, and I'm not going to put down Crabbe or Johnny Weissmuller. I mean, obviously they were icons, and there wouldn't have been later Tarzans without those guys.
And they were
pop culture phenomenons. But yeah, they were filmed at Backlot, and I think,
but they were, I mean, those were really pop. The Weissmuller ones were really popular, weren't they?
Yeah, they were absolutely a big deal. Huge. In fact, I think the Burroughs family, even though that, you know, I think Edgar Rice Burroughs had issues with the interpretations, the character, they obviously were huge fans of, you know, Weissmuller himself and his portrayal of the character, and how, you know, he obviously was a physical presence, and those guys did a lot of their own stunts and. So
he was an Olympic swimmer, right?
Well, I know Crabbe was. I'm not sure about Johnny Weissmuller, but he was obviously he was in some terrific shape. Even when they always make that in shape, out of shape guy reference about guys back then. But Weissmuller, he's just in good shape even to this day. You know?
Right, and there's also I think when people look back at them now too, there's a lot of, you know, me man, you woman, go do
this. Well, yeah,
this.
That's
there's
the,
a lot
the
of
public,
like,
the Meet Tarzan, you Jane, and the Jungle Cry. It all just gets dumbed down to that, and yeah,
right,
but Tarzan
right.
became, like I said, like he's along the lines of Popeye did, and you know, Mickey Mouse, and. It really hung on, or even like Frankenstein. You know, I mean, we all knew Frankenstein, and that really it got boiled down to that thing. And I think we're just kind of
no, but it's it. You know, do you? If somebody could, all right, let me ask you this before we wrap up. Then,
yeah,
because I think you dig the character and the concept a little more than I do.
Yeah, I do.
But if you had your way,
yeah.
Besides the one that was made,
mm-hmm.
what would you, if somebody said unlimited budget, you know, a series of films, what would you want to see?
I would definitely want to see Tarzan go to Blue Sadar, like Tarzan at the Earth's core, I think would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Tarzan hook up with John Carter. I think you have something there. And mm-hmm. that would be the trifecta of movies I would like to see, is Tarzan in fantasy situations, seeing lost mm-hmm. civilizations. Like, screw New York. I don't want him going to New York.
Right.
I don't want to see his damn origin anymore. You know?
No. That was really... I thought that was really handled well in this movie, too.
Yes.
Like, they gave us a bit of it, but we did not need it. You know, just mention it and show us a tiny bit. Yep. We don't need... I never need to see Spider-Man or Batman or Tarzan ever again.
I'm the last guy on the planet who saw Spider-Man Homecoming, and I liked it. I didn't love it, but I will give it a lot of thumbs up for no dead Uncle Ben... mentioning the good spider Lord. Biting him in passing, like, thank you.
Yeah,
and I think the rest of it is more my problem. I'm just like, I'm Spider-Man'd out.
I think we're Spider-Man'd out. I do think there's, you know, what's funny is because I left that thinking, yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
but you know, when I see a trailer for like Thor Ragnarok, and I go, whoa, they're doing like a Kirby trippy. They need to kind of give this stuff a shot in the arm, because it's going to start to feel formulaic.
Yeah.
And they need to, because they were doing a real good job. The Marvel stuff, I think, was doing a good job of like switching gears, you know, every other movie kind of thing. But Homecoming, as good as it was, that's kind of how I felt too, even though I loved every frame that Michael Keaton was in.
I would love to see that.
Yeah,
I'm totally okay with the current actors playing Tarzan and Jane. I think, and this is
so good.
This is brutal, but I think the best Tarzan stories are when, you know, Jane's at home and he's just wandering around. That's just me, because they always use Jane as a victim. And she was the antithesis. She was the antithesis of that in this movie, and that's what I loved about her, is she wasn't taking any shit.
Yeah.
And
she was like the female in a Bond movie, what's called the Bond girl.
But she was still the damsel in distress. That,
she handled her own pretty. But no, I get you. Yeah. She could stay home next time.
If she doesn't stay home, then write her so that it's like a Doctor Who companion. You know, she goes off on her adventure. And
didn't we kind of have this conversation last time and how I felt about the new Doctor? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and you know what else, by the way?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I mentioned this in the show. Did I mention this in the show, or did we do this before I left for Comic-Con? No, we did it before I left for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Just as an addendum to that, since we're sort of on the subject, I did a bit of polling at Comic-Con. I talked to some people about a particular license in line at one of the booths, and it was all, you know, mostly women. And then I started asking about Doctor Who. And when I kind of talked about the new casting, there was not this overwhelming, oh my God, it's so great, because of one of the same reasons that we kind of discussed.
Yeah.
They were saying, you know, I don't, it's not a character that I feel like the show does pretty well with female characters.
Yeah.
I wasn't dying for the lead character to be a female. I want him to stay the way he is, because I'm attracted to that guy. I want to travel with that guy.
Yeah.
But I don't want to,
definitely had a female voice. And it's an interesting thing to change that. And I think more than anything, I'm just curious to see how that works out.
And when you start to break it down, I wonder who exactly it's being done for, because I don't think the majority of female characters want it to happen or care that it would happen. I don't know how the male, you know, fans feel or whatever. I mean, I'm sorry, female fans.
Yeah, okay, I know. I wanted it to happen. Yeah. I don't know.
You know? So, it's interesting. We'll see.
At peace with that. I don't want a female Tarzan, though. Although that's Sheena, isn't it?
Oh! Yeah. It is Sheena, pretty much. Sheena Easton, I think, is the one you're thinking of.
No, I'm thinking of that great Tanya Roberts film.
Classic.
Yeah.
So, there you go. There's our Tarzan episode. Who'd have thought? Right? Nobody thought we were going to do that.
Yes, they did.
Right?
If they listen to the show. Well, I talk about Tarzan all the time. So.
Do you?
Yeah. And.
With me? With me?
Often. Yes, I bring it up. occasionally. I'm also known to just mutter it in my sleep. But. the other thing I wanted to bring up just before we go is Tarzan collectibles and toys, and I think we kind of scattered that around, but my absolute favorite is the Mego action figure. I searched for it as a kid high and low, and even though it was not a great seller, I could never find it. And I still own the first Tarzan I ever bought, which was at a doll show in 1986. I found a boxed Mego Tarzan for $10. And so exciting.
Boxed?
Yeah. And I remember just like thinking I had found the rarest Mego ever, which is not true.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And
but you'd be forgiven for thinking that.
Yeah, yeah. He comes with a knife, and it is one of my favorite Migos ever. And if you don't like it, I will fight you. I guess that's about it for me. Tarzan.
Well, I've always wanted to get. I kind of have an affection for, I guess, the Big Jim.
That's
stuff,
an awesome looking figure. Yeah.
You know, that would kind of tie into the animated series, although I kind of like the strangeness of the one that, you know, was like 84, even though it wasn't specifically a Greystoke
thing.
Yes, it was. It did kind of tie in.
Greystoke.
It was Greystoke?
Yeah, Dakin had the Greystoke license, and they did all, like, you know, young Tarzan.
But he didn't look a thing.
It didn't look like Lambert, but it is.
No, even on the art, though, on the card art, either.
I'm sure that was Greystoke based.
No, because I remember the art is like a guy. Tarzan's like swinging toward the camera, but it doesn't. I don't think it says Greystoke anywhere on there. And
oh my god,
no,
you're right. It just came out at the same time.
It just came out at the same time.
Oh
so
my
again,
god, that's like the Berenstain Bears. I just assumed it was, you know, that whole.
It is just like the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, well,
you're
you know,
right.
That whole thing of where you just assume that happened and it didn't.
So again, like the series of figures, you know, like it's 96, me going, is there like a movie out or something? Or like, what the hell? And then it turns out they're covering the universe of Tarzan. So this thing was, tied in was to coincide with the movie, but it doesn't have Greystoke on it. It's not. It's weird. So I have a bit of affection. I'd like to get one of the gorillas and like the adult, you know, Tarzan from that. I someday, but I don't think I have a single toy.
No, I don't have any of those. I do just have the Mego. I have the Big Jim, and I have that big doll from Spain. And I'm good. I would love to find. Oh, and I have some rack toys. Okay, I have a lot of stuff. But I would love to find that. That's the last Tarzan piece I need in the world is that carded figure with Nakima, and then
can I make a suggestion?
Yeah,
you should make a Tarzan parachute guy for
that's
the animated
a great
series.
Great idea.
Use the Filmation, you know, that art on the card,
yep.
And why not? He could somehow, you know, walked into an airplane and, you know, made a mistake and then needed to get a parachute or something.
I'm totally doing that now. I got to go find some leopard print for the parachute. Thank you.
I've got some boxers I can.
I'm on vacation this week, so I'm going to go do that. I'm off to the garage.
Nice.
All right, man.
There you go.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. And
thanks everybody.
Appreciate all the kind words we've heard from recently. It has been really, really nice to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Thanks to all the great comments on the last episode and like stuff that we missed and stuff. It's great to get the conversation started.
Yeah.
So by all means, keep doing it.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.